Well, we're going to look at Acts chapter 8 in just a minute. If you want to turn there, we'll pray over this message. I'm glad you're here, folks. Amen. Father, we love you and thank you for today. Thank you for the word of God that we'll look at today. And Lord God, I ask you just to minister truth to us. Lord, I ask that, again, you take us where we are to where you want us to be, Lord, not where we want to be. Thank you for the testimony of this lady, Lord God, and the healing hands of that doctor. And Lord God, we give you praise in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Amen, amen. Well, I know you know it's Memorial Day, but I decided not to preach a Memorial Day message this morning. Amen?
Amen.
I felt very impressed of the Lord to continue what was started last week and share some thoughts with you about the topic of revival. We need revival, folks.
Yes,
amen? It's always been fascinating to me to read the stories of the great revival that have happened through the ages. Some of these revivals shook entire cities for God. Entire cities changed. Amen? For example, over 200 years ago, there was a preacher named Charles Finney who conducted revivals in the northeast part of the United States. It is a well-known fact that entire cities were changed by the power of God during these revival meetings. Then there was the great Welsh revival at the turn of the 20th century. It all started in a tiny room with 16 teenagers after a Wednesday night service at their small church. The Holy Spirit fell on those 16 young people, and historians of that day said it could only be compared to the day of Pentecost. Wow. At 2 o'clock in the morning, these young people were weeping and crying out to God, asking Him to make a difference in their lives so that they could make a difference in their world. Their testimonies and witnessing spread to the adults who carried it throughout their city and eventually throughout the country of Wales, and the ripple effect was felt around the world, even to the states of America. Amen. Amen. The Bible records the revival of the city of Nineveh. Even though Jonah was reluctant at first, he eventually went eagerly into Nineveh after staying 3 days at the Fish Entered Motel. If you didn't quite get that, ask somebody after the service. Amen. Jonah preached a message of judgment, and the Bible says the entire city repented, beginning with the king right down to the least of the inhabitants. I want to read from Jonah chapter 3, verse 5. And I didn't read Acts chapter 8. Let's go there first. I want to go there first, and then we'll go back. But chapter 8, and it's starting with verse 1 and going through verse 8. Now Saul was consenting to his death. At that time, a great persecution rose against the church which was at Jerusalem, and they were all scattered throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria except the apostles. Okay, Saul, who's Saul? What's his next name? Paul. Amen. This is when the deacon was stoned. Stephen, the martyr, was stoned, and Saul was consenting to his death. Great persecution against the church. Verse 2, and devout men carried Stephen to his burial and made great lamentation over him. As for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering every house and dragging off men and women, committing them to prison. Verse 4. Therefore, those who were scattered went everywhere preaching the word. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ to them. And the multitudes with one accord heeded the things spoken by Philip, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. For unclean spirits cried out with a loud voice, came out of many who were possessed, and many who were paralyzed and lame were healed. And there was great joy in that city. All right. That's what I should have read at first. Now I want to read Jonah. What happened in Nineveh. Amen. Jonah chapter 3 and verse 5. So the people of Nineveh believed God, proclaimed a fast, and put on sackcloth, from the greatest to the least of them. Then the word came to the king of Nineveh, and he arose from his throne and laid aside his robe, covered himself with sackcloth, and sat in ashes. And he caused it to be proclaimed and published throughout Nineveh by the decree of the king and his nobles, saying, let neither man nor beast, herd nor flock, taste anything. Do not let them eat or drink water. But let man and beast be covered with sackcloth and cry mightily to God. Yes, let everyone turn from his evil way and from the violence that is in his hands. Verse 9. Who can tell if God will turn and relent and turn away from his fierce anger so that we may not perish? And finally, verse 10, then God saw their works, that they had turned from their evil way, and God relented from the disaster that he had said he would bring upon them, and he did not do it. Amen. All right, that's the revival in Nineveh. A great, great revival because Nineveh was evil. Amen? Amen? The city was evil. Now, we have a similar event going on in Acts chapter 8, verses 1 through 8, with Philip going into Samaria and bringing that city into revival. Amen? Now, we desperately need the kind of revival that will shake our cities and our churches again.
Amen.
Amen. Even to this voting thing that we're talking about, that we need a revival in America.
Amen.
Amen. We must continually, as Christians, we must continually listen to the voice of the scriptures here where it says, it beckons us to return to our first love. We've got to fall back in love with Jesus, folks. We need to fall in love with Jesus all over again. Amen.
Amen.
Now, what am I referring to? What kind of revival am I talking about? I'm not talking about one of those temporary thrill-seeking revivals that touch only our emotions.
Right.
I'm not talking about a counterfeit revival where there's no real moving of the Spirit, just a demonstrative preaching. I'm talking about a revival where Christians generally get right with God, where believers get hungry again for a spiritual awakening, where lost people get saved in great numbers, where marriages are restored, alcoholics are delivered, and rebellious teens are brought to their knees, where liars become truthful, thieves are made honest, prostitutes are made pure, and adulterers are made faithful. An old-fashioned, soul-saving, sin-erasing, devil-chasing revival. Amen?
Amen.
Let's say that again. An old-fashioned, soul-saving, sin-erasing, devil-chasing revival.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
That's what we need. Now, I don't know what your position is in this radical thought, but I would love to see it happen here at Turning Point Church in Lead City, Texas. Amen?
Amen.
I would love to see it. Where liquor stores would have to close for lack of business.
Yes.
Amen. And drug dealers would have to move elsewhere because there's no addicts. Amen.
Amen.
Come on. It can happen. Did you know that this actually happened during the days of ministry of Billy Sunday, where many were saved, though not all of them, but all were affected by what was going on in Billy Sunday's ministry. Amen. And this account in Acts chapter 8 should make us hungry for it. right here and right now. Now, let me share three things with you about this this account, this citywide revival in Samaria. First of all, the man Philip. In Acts chapter 6, verse 5, it tells us that Philip was one of the original seven deacons. And by chapter 8, he had matured into an effective evangelist. Amen? Please notice, he's not been promoted to Apostle Philip. I want you to notice that. Revival can start with just one person who is willing to pay the price, who possesses a hunger for God, and who is ready to do something awesome. Amen? It only takes one person to bring the spark to get the fire started, and perhaps it will become a roaring blaze. In the 1800s, Gypsy Smith was a great revivalist. When asked how to have a revival, Smith said, "Go home, lock yourself in your room, draw a circle around yourself with chalk, ask God to start a great revival within that circle. When God has answered your prayer, the revival will be underway." Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. You and I both know that fire spreads, it energizes, and it purifies.
Yes.
Praise God. Let me tell you more about the Welsh revival. According to the historian Thomas Rainer, it all started in that testimony meeting at a simple youth group gathering. One little girl was so nervous she could barely speak, but she stood up and shared one sentence. "Oh, I do love Jesus. Oh, I do love Jesus." And that's when it all began. God gripped every heart that was there, and the rest is history. It was just a little spark, but it became a wildfire. Can that happen today? God is no respecter of persons. He's the same yesterday, today, forever. And I, for one, believe that it can happen again,
amen,
even today. Amen?
Amen?
Amen. Another great revival under the leadership of D.L. Moody began in England, but then spread to Scotland and Ireland. According to Moody's son, who wrote his father's biography, D.L. Moody was on vacation in London preaching on a Sunday morning for a pastor named Lessie. Moody was to be there that night as well, but the morning service was so cold, dry, dead, and the people were so unresponsive, he dreaded going back that evening. However, when Moody did arrive as scheduled, he noticed that the church was packed with more people than were present in the morning service. The Holy Spirit's presence was like electricity. Everyone was excited. Moody preached. Then he invited anyone who wanted to become a Christian to please stand. Dozens stood. Moody thought that the folks might have misunderstood. So he asked them to sit back down. And then he said, "If you're really serious, then meet me in the inquiry room after the service." Dozens showed up, with some even lined up out the door and down the hallway. Moody recounted that the power of God was so strong that he was compelled to remain in the city for 10 days. During that time, over 400 people received salvation.
Amen.
Amen? Moody was aware that this kind of revival only happens in response to prayer. So he made some inquiries, and he discovered that behind the scenes something else had transpired. An elderly woman who was in that first morning service went home to her invalid sister and told her about Moody's preaching at the church. The lady's eyes lit up, for she had been praying and asking God to send someone like Moody to England. She announced, "Put lunch away. We'll spend the rest of the afternoon praying and fasting." And so they did. How did that revival start? Two elderly ladies, one bedridden, decided, "We don't need more organization or activities. We need the power of God in this place."
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Let's put away lunch. Let's put away what's looming in front of us and go to God in prayer. Amen.
Amen.
So these women paid the price. Now, not only can revival begin with just one, it can be extinguished or destroyed or dissolved or nullified by just one as well. F.B. Meyer talks about an unsuccessful revival meeting that drug on night after night with no results. One of the deacons came forward and said he knew why the revival was faltering. He confessed that he held a grudge against another deacon. The two of them had not spoken in months because of the bad blood between them. Meyer brought these two men together, helping them to bury the hatchet. Before the next service, the congregation was informed that a conflict had been exposed and resolved. It was then that revival broke out. Amen. Herein is a warning. Don't be that one that strangles revival by refusing to make amends for a wrong. Give up that bitterness. Forgive as you've been forgiven. Refuse to hold a grudge. Settle your differences and decide you don't have to have everything your way. Amen?
Amen.
Now, revival broke out in Samaria in Acts chapter 8 when, number one, this man Philip was willing to be used by God. That was the requirement. He was willing to be used by God. Then the second significant event in that message was the message. Amen. Acts chapter 8 and verse 5. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ to them. Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ to them. That's the kind of revival preaching we need, folks. Preach Christ.
Amen.
Preach Christ. Preaching social reform will not bring revival.
Right.
Educational sermons are nice and helpful personally, but if your heart hasn't been changed, it doesn't matter what effect you've had on the mind. You can educate a thief, and all you end up with is a smarter thief.
Yes.
Instead of a petty thief, he now knows how to embezzle from the company. Amen? We need to commit to preaching Jesus Christ, his virgin birth, perfect life, sacrificial death, bodily resurrection, all his teachings in between, including all he revealed about sin, death, hell, judgment, as well as love, salvation, repentance, and forgiveness. May we preach Jesus, reminding others of Jesus' powerful words to Satan during the temptation in the wilderness. Amen. May we preach Jesus without apology, including all he declared about money, both that which we give and that which we keep. Amen. May we preach over and over again the most powerful sermon the universe has ever known, that six-hour-long message spoken atop a hill called Golgotha on one dark Friday. Amen? That's the only preaching that saves souls, changes lives, and brings repentance. Revival is not ignited by some pastor or evangelist. Thank God that's not what it's about. Philip preached Jesus Christ. Let's covenant together that we make ourselves spiritually ready so that God uses us to start the fire that is so desperately needed in our country. Amen?
Amen.
Does the name Daniel Webster ring a bell?
Yes.
If not, look him up in the dictionary. Webster was a great politician, orator, and scholar. When he lived in Washington, D.C., he faithfully attended a small country church. One day, his niece came to him and said, "Uncle Daniel, why do you go to that little church? There's many large, fashionable churches in the city where you can hear a much better delivery." This is what he replied: "Young lady, in the fancy churches, they preach to Daniel Webster, the statesman. But in my church, they preach to Daniel Webster, the sinner, and they tell me about Jesus." Thank God Webster knew exactly what he needed to hear. Amen. I heard a story about a preacher who was coming down hard about the subject of hell. There was an elderly man in the church who had fallen asleep during the service. So the preacher called out this question: "Is there anybody that really wants to go to hell? If you want to go, stand up." All the elderly man heard was "stand up." So he did. Then he noticed that no one else was standing. So he said, "Preacher, I don't know what we're voting on, but it looks like you and me's the only ones for it." Let me read you a short discourse written by an anonymous writer. Noah's message upon climbing up the steps into the ark was not, "Something good is going to happen to you." Amos was not confronted by the high priest of Israel for proclaiming, "Confession is possession." Jeremiah was not put into the pit for preaching, "I'm okay, you're okay." Daniel was not put into the lion's den for telling people, "Possibility thinking will move mountains." John the Baptist was not forced to preach in the wilderness and eventually beheaded because he preached, "Smile, God loves you." The two prophets of the tribulation will not be killed for preaching, "God is in his heaven and all is right with the world." Instead, what was the message of these men of God? Simply one word: repent. 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 Here's some quotes from some famous preachers who actually have seen a citywide revival. W.A. Criswell, when asked what's the secret to church growth and revival, he said, "Preach the word, brothers, and God will give the increase."
Yes.
Amen.
Charles Spurgeon, "I have no other secret than this. I have preached the gospel, not about the gospel, but I have preached the gospel, the full, free, glorious gospel of the living Christ. Preach Christ, brethren, always and everywhere. Preach Christ." So back to our text. Initially, Philip was the man. Next, Christ was the message. And finally, the coming miracles. Acts chapter 8, verse 6 and 7. "And the multitudes, with one accord, heeding the things spoken by Philip, hearing and seeing the miracles," or signs, "which he did." Verse 7, "For unclean spirits, crying out with a loud voice, came out of many who were possessed, and many who were paralyzed and lame were healed." God allowed Philip to work miracles as a sign to authenticate that what he was sharing was true. God put a stamp of approval on Philip's message through these signs. We all think that when God moves in a supernatural power, awesome things happen, and we look forward to this. But brothers and sisters, everything that happened to this point is considered minor compared to the greatest miracle. In Acts chapter 8, verse 12, it says, "But when they believed Philip as he preached the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, both men and women were baptized." These folks were so convinced by Satan's preaching that they believed and were saved. And they followed the Lord in baptism and being filled with the Holy Spirit and beyond. Thank God that He still chooses to heal.
Yes.
Amen? Amen? Thank God for the miracles He still performs. Yet you and I continue to need and seek a display of that power today. Yes, physical healings are grand and glorious, but they are temporary. We know that every sick person healed by Jesus or in the name of Jesus eventually dies. But the greatest, most profound miracle of all, the miracle of salvation, which will endure forever.
Amen.
Amen? Amen. Jesus declared, "One drink of living water and you'll never thirst again." Amen.
Amen.
He said, "I will give them eternal life and they shall never perish." Saints, let's pray for revival. Amen. A revival that is spread across our city, our country, and our world. God's word tells us that in the very last days, God would pour out His Holy Spirit upon all of those who would receive Him. Folks, we are in the very last days. Amen? We are in those very last days. Are we ready for a revival? Amen. Let's really make this day memorable. Let's really make this day memorable. Amen? Let's experience a mighty revival right here and right now. Amen.
Amen.
Let's do it. God wants us to be enjoying revival, a time of awakening, a time of renewal, a time of repentance, a time of salvation, a time of rejoicing, a time of experiencing the almighty power and glory of our God, a time to come back to your first love. Hallelujah. He's going to make His entrance soon. We need to be ready, and we need to bring as many people as we can with us. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah, folks. Let's have revival. Let's have revival. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen.
Can we pray?
Yes.
Can we pray?
Yes.
Can we pray today?
Yes.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, I thank you and I praise you for revival, Lord God. Lord, the time that when we've been backslidden or we've become disinterested or we've just gotten too much world in us, Lord God, we can turn and come back to you, Lord God. And Lord, a time when people that are not believers become believers, Lord.
Yes.
Jesus, you paid the price, the entire price. There is nothing that you didn't do for us, Lord God. Lord, all we have to do is ask. All we have to do is repent. Lord, are we sorry for the things we've done? Absolutely. Lord, I'm sorry for the things I did before I asked you to fill my life, and I'm sorry for the things I've done since then, Lord. Lord, I haven't been right. None of us have been right. Lord, teach us. Speak to us, Lord. Minister to us. Open our hearts up to your Holy Spirit speaking truth into our life, Lord God. Let revival start. Let revival start in this place, at this time, Lord God. Lord, change us. Change us. Lord, I thank you for how much I have changed, but I know I've got a long ways to go before I cross that line into your heavenly kingdom, Lord. Oh, Jesus. We repent. We repent today. Lord, there have been times I haven't given you the place that you need to be in my life. And I've substituted myself. I repent. There's times I spoke a cruel word and thought wrong thoughts, Lord. I repent. There's times when I didn't believe. I didn't trust you. And I repent.
Jesus.
Lord, you gave me the greatest gift that could be given. And a lot of times I have just ignored the Holy Spirit. I repent. Lord, search me. I'm yours. If there's anything that separates me and you, Lord, I repent. And I ask you to remove it in Jesus' name. Lord, there are times I've acted in my own strength when you have been telling me to depend on you. Lord, I repent. Show each one of us, Lord God, the things we need to give to you. So that we can be in a place to receive revival. Fill our altars with people.
Oh, Jesus.
That need Jesus. And people that need to come back to you, Lord. Fill us by your grace, Lord Jesus. Prepare our hearts for you. And I thank you for everything in Jesus' name. Let this message just burn our ears.
Yes.
And let the thoughts of today continually go back to it. Thank you, Father, for Jesus. Prayer this morning. I'd love to pray for you. I do want you to receive one of these when you leave. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Please come forward if you'd like me to pray. If not, you can be dismissed if you want to.